Greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. One of the most scant Wednesday nights I think we've had in a long time. Sure looks empty out there. You could bowl down the aisles tonight, couldn't you? Praise the Lord. All is well. I won't be singing any songs, sisters. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 7, if you would. We're going to start there. Want to welcome Brother Kim. I think he may have stepped out from Korea. He's, there he is in the back there with his video camera, Brother Kim Yong-won. He's here visiting a few days with us, and we're sorting out some thoughts on what we can do to improve the spreading of the message in Korea. Kim has been kind of an ailing man, I'll tell you, from the pulpit for, I guess, about a year and a half now. And about a year ago, he found out that he had a leaky heart valve. He was wondering why he was so weak all the time. And it turns out one of the valves in his heart's leaking. And his wife has been plagued with diabetes. So they've both just been kind of carrying each other around, leaning on each other, I think, for about the last year and a half. They'll get kind of better and then kind of down, then kind of up and kind of better. So we'll want to really pray for Brother Kim. And he's really been we just wouldn't have what we've got over there if it wasn't for him taking a hold with us and helping us get around among the people and get the building facilities and get everything squared away. He's just been a tremendous help. And then now his son-in-law, Brother Saw, whom you've met, who's been here with us, he's taking over his pastorship of the church over there. It's just everything's moving along nicely. But if Kim hadn't jumped in with both feet right originally, I just don't think we'd have anything over there. So we owe in the Lord, kingdom owes Kim a lot, for I think, for what he's done. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Tonight's going to be a real night of inspiration. We're resting on that it will be. Jeff took off for a couple nights. He was going to be gone night before last and last night. Tonight. He and Debbie went off to get a little relaxation. We've had a steady flow of people through the home, and it's just kind of worn her out. I've been trying desperately to get some plumbers and heating and air conditioning men to come out to my house and finish up some work that's been lingering for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And then here today, I'm trying to get ready for tonight. Who shows up? Both of them. The heating and air conditioning man. Oh, what about this? What about that? Oh, we need this. We need that. Oh, I felt like we were running in circles today. So you forgive me. I just feel a little bit frazzled. So we're going to have to depend. I don't mean physically. I mean mentally. And so we're going to really depend on the Lord. I have seen a picture developing in my own thinking, and I cannot, in my own self tonight, do the subject justice, so I'm hoping the Lord will do it properly for us. But here's the direction I want to go, and that is, God has given us assurances for many years now, building our confidence that our name was on the book before the foundation of the world. You are the pure, virgin, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. If you're ever going to have eternal life, you always had eternal life. It is God who chooses. God slipped a wedding band of unmerited grace on your finger before the foundation of the world. God cannot see sin through blood. He's looking at you. You are the virgin, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. All of these assurances, To build in a stability into us that we can rest the names on the book, it's not going to be taken off. But there is another side to the coin that is very important. And it has, I want to emphasize now to the bride, to the elect lady, what I want to get into tonight has nothing to do with your salvation. So don't feel I'm challenging your salvation. I envision a daddy and his little boy walking through the park, and we're watching them, and they're enjoying each other. The little boy appreciating daddy, and daddy appreciating his son. And as we watch them going along this path and just really enjoying each other, they disappear for a little while because they've gone behind a clump of trees, and then they come out on the other side of the trees, and daddy's sober. The joy is gone. The little boy is all hunkered down. His joy is gone. And we wonder, what happened? Well, in the time that we didn't see, the little fella got a little disobedient, and daddy had to correct him. And so daddy is sober-faced because of the correction, and the little boy has lost his joy because of the correction. So nothing was changed in relationship. It's still father, it's still son. But their fellowship was broken by disobedience. And that's our principle with God. So I'm not talking about relationship. Sonship, children of God, that cannot be changed. That cannot be broken. But fellowship, yes, that can be broken. Brother Branham explained to us over and over. He said, you let that ornery, cantankerous spirit rise up in you and you snap back at someone. He said, that little dove of peace will take its flight. And he says, and go off and sit on a limb until you repent and get your heart right. And then he'll come back. What happened? You broke your fellowship with God because you allowed some spirit contrary to the Spirit of God to manifest through you. So we're talking now on a kind of long of a subject of obedience. Now here we took a heavy duty set of verses out of Matthew, where not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So I really didn't want to emphasize, you know, heaven or hell. That was not my thought in mind, but my thought is that there are those who are manifesting the greatness of God, but there's and in the supernatural, but yet not manifesting the Word of God, not walking with the Word of God. And this little bride, she not only will walk with the Word, she is God's final manifestation among the Gentiles of the Word. But I fear that we have slid into maybe a little too much comfort in our relationship with God, that maybe we're not pressing the mark. The Presbyterian Church died, literally died, on their revelation of predestination. They had it. They were the first denominational group that really stressed predestination. And your name's on the book before the foundation of the world. I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. And not one that all the Father has given to me will come to me. Not one will be lost out of my hand. And they slid back into that so much, they stopped their evangelism, they stopped their outreach, they stopped their testimony. If they're God's, they're coming. And they just went cold and died. And we can do the same thing quite easily. We have an absolute responsibility to share what we have. There is a fountain of eternal life available to flow on earth, but it's only in the Word. There is no other source than the Word. And where else is a pure fountain flowing outside of the message of the hour? None. And then we relax, we relay back. What happens? I think of that quote where Brother Branham says, he says, there'll be black hands reach up out of the smoke. He doesn't mean black because they're from Africa, but rather black because they've charred. He says, to condemn us in that day because we didn't tell them. And again, I'm not talking about salvation or no salvation. I'm talking about responsibility. He who knew no sin became sin in our stead that we might be the very righteousness of God. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, but God has now committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we as ambassadors, you know the scriptures in Corinthians, are to go forth on his behalf. I've heard the testimony on radio dozens of times, and I'm sure you've heard it too. I think it's even a song, because I keep hearing it somewhere over radio in word or song, and I don't even remember what. They were saying that if everybody was hauled before the courts to be tried, are you a Christian or not, and every Christian that they could identify would be killed, would there be enough testimony to convict you? How many know you're a Christian? Candles are not made to be put under baskets. But that's a part of it. Let's read on a little bit. Now, this is a familiar thing, but I'm trying to bring back subject matter to our mind. 1 Samuel 28. Now, I think I'll start before that. Let's start at 15. 1 Samuel 15. Very familiar scriptures. We've gone over them many times. I would like us to think of what I'm talking about as a double covenant. Hold that thought now. I want us to think about what we're talking about tonight as a double covenant. We have God has a covenant with his elect in the soul that soul will not be lost. He will redeem it. But he's got another covenant with your flesh. And that is, I'll fellowship with you, I'll work through you, I'll use you as much as you're willing to yield to me, to my spirit, to my word. Has nothing to do with salvation, but it has a lot to do with manifestation and how much God is working through you. 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. Samuel speaking to Saul, the prophet Samuel speaking to Saul the king. 1 Samuel 15, 3. Now go and smite the Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Notice the word, utterly destroy all that they have. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Looking at this through the natural eye, it just almost looks disastrous. How awful, how terrible that one group of humans would be sent out to utterly wipe out man, woman, child, and everything of another race of humans. But that's not the issue. Amalek represents your flesh. It's always there to rise up against you. And if you continually go back and read about Amalek and compare it to your own body that you're warring against your soul, you'll catch a big picture. So what Samuel has told Saul is, utterly destroy all the manifestation of life in Amalek, your flesh. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, notice this is God speaking to Samuel now over a king's actions. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me. Just notice, think what happened. A prophet sent him down to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he went down and he destroyed the Amalekites, but not utterly. And God says he turned from me. He didn't say, look, partial obedience. He didn't emphasize it that way. He said, no, no, no. He's turned from me. Why? 1 ounce of reasoning injected into the Word of God kills the effect of the Word. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandment, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and is passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Notice the two views. Because of one little thing, destroy and utterly destroy. God says, he's turned away from me. And the other one says, I performed the word of the Lord. And depending on where you put the magnifying glass, you could say that's true. If we look, say, we watch only that Saul did not kill the king, we'd say, look at that disobedience. But if we looked at the thousands and thousands of Amalekites that were slain and the animals that were slain, we'd say, look at that obedience. But God didn't see the partial obedience. He only saw disobedience. Verse 14. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. I have gone through these verses of Scripture and circled I and they. And it's interesting to see the way Saul speaks. In verse 13, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. In verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So where there's obedience involved, it's I or we. Where there's disobedience, it's they. But who was their ruler? Saul. So who answers to God? Saul. Now, pulling this back now into the light of the message, quoting, not verbatim, but close from the prophet. If you know that there is sin continuing in the church, and you do not do anything to help root it out, in God's eyes, you become accountable for that sin, for we are one body. So therefore, we can't stick our head in the sand and say, we, they. Oh boy, I'm seeking God with all my heart, but we're pressing on, but they, some of the other people, we're one body. If we or they has got a problem, we all got a problem. Verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil and sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Notice that's all capitals, the voice of Jehovah. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Notice what he calls rejection, not full obedience.
Okay.
Now, when my mind flips through the files of a present-day message, and I hear about applying the token in the home, getting those filthy magazines and newspapers out of your home, blast out that television set with a shotgun, and on and on and on goes all these things. Why? Because we're sharing our home with the Amalekites. The Holy Spirit doesn't need entertainment. And it's sure not the Holy Spirit that writes 99 9/10% of the magazines, newspapers, television shows. It's another spirit. So we're fellowshipping something of another kingdom than the kingdom by which by one birth we've been birthed into. But God has told us, as far as its effects on our life go, utterly destroy it. You remember the often told story again about Abraham, when God told him in Genesis 11 or 12 to separate yourself from all your kindred and all your family, and I will take thee to a land. And he left his home, but he didn't separate. And so we find then that in watching the story that God never blessed him until finally daddy died. That was one separation. He didn't do it, but it happened. Daddy died. And then finally he and Lot's shepherd men, herdsmen, got in an argument, and finally they also separated. And when finally circumstances finally got this elect man into the position of being separated, God spoke to him and blessed him and says, look, behold the land, it's all going to be yours. Why? Finally, he was in the position of full obedience. I don't know how many people we would have, and maybe this should be said on a Sunday morning instead of a Wednesday night, how many people who are still resting in their Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism and have not obeyed the word of the Lord. They're Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is not a baptism at all because it's not according to Scripture, so it's not the word of the Lord. So if you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you haven't been baptized according to the word. See? And so we are to be separated to the word of the Lord and separated from the things of God. And I think the reason this is kind of on my heart is not the big things. I mean, I don't think we got anybody that's still nightclubbing and discoing and all that stuff. That's not the issue. The issue is get rid of these little baby Amalekites that are still running around the neighborhood kind of thing. These cute little fellas, you know. Oh, they're not so offensive, but they're Amalekites. But they're just babies, but they're Amalekites. See? Verse 15 again. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night. Say on, when thou wast little, verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, did evil in the sight of God? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way, but, I'm just reemphasizing here, verse 21, the people took a notice, he keeps pointing back, but the people. But Saul couldn't shirk the responsibility. He was king of the people. He was answerable to God for what the people did. Mamas and daddies are answerable for what family does. Husbands are answerable for what wife and children do. We're answerable. You just can't say, well, they. No, who's in headship position. A pastor is responsible for what goes on in the church to, under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, handle it. That doesn't mean that we do as Samuel does a little later here with Agag, the king, pull out his sword and hack him to death. We don't do that with our kids. We don't do that with our family. That's not the idea. But the idea is handle it. Handle it. Don't let it go on. Pray about it. How do I handle it? When do I handle it? But keep it before the Lord and handle it. Get the whole house under the token. But the people took the spoil, the sheep of the oxen, and the chief of the other things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord. All right, coming on up. Verse 24. For Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, finally. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So now finally in verse 24, after all of these verses, Saul finally owns up to it. You're right. I was not fully obedient. Can't pass the buck. And I was afraid of the people. He was afraid he'd lose his position. Now let's pull that back to present day thinking. The only position we're really interested in is our place in the body of Christ. We want to function the way God wants us to function in our place in the body of Christ. Your position in the body of Christ, you are predestinated to, and no one can take your place. So therefore, no one can put you out because no person puts you in. God places you. So there is no fear of, oh, the people will leave me, the church will leave me, what'll I do? I'll be rejected, I'll be this, I'll be that. No, God is, you're in control of my life. And if for some reason I'm pushed out here, the reason I'm pushed out here is because I'm not yet in my place. God's got a place for me, and in that place, He puts me there, and ain't nobody can put me out. So, but I'm emphasizing that to try and take away this, don't be motivated by fear. You find young parents often will handle their children in a certain way for fear my children won't love me. Nonsense. Give them a good paddling and what'll happen? They'll hug you, they'll squeeze you, they'll love right up to you. Every time. Because somehow they know it's for their good. Isn't that right? So I think God knows it's the same way with us. You stand as a minister in a Christian group, and you watch this person get sick, or that person have a financial problem, or this person loses a husband or loses a wife, or this happens or that wife, and you'd almost expect to say, well, if God's going to treat me that way, but you don't hear that. You hear God's getting sweeter all the time. Oh, I love Him more. In the midst of trial, in the midst of testing, oh, I love Him more. And you watch with your own children, correct them, chastise them, bring them to the place they ought to be, they'll love you more. And we'll answer to God. We don't want to fear. That was the issue involved here. Verse 23. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. So he wanted the presence of a godly man to kind of vindicate him in the eyes of the people. That here he is now feeling himself totally smitten I confess, I repent, I did wrong. But now to have in the eyes of the people, to have God's representative trying to walk away from him too, that was just too much. Please stand with me in the eyes of the people. That's not difficult to understand. You could point at it and say it's a weakness, but it's easy to understand why you would want that as a king. Verse 32, then said Samuel, bring you hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Yeah. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And you remember how Jeff the other day brought out that part of the verse. He said he didn't do it to be killing a man. He did it to be obedient to the word of God, which Saul was not. So he didn't just kill a man. He did it before the Lord. Why? Because he was following the word. If you won't do it, Saul, I will. God said, do it. Somebody's going to fulfill the word of God. All right, let's skip over to chapter 28 now, 1 Samuel 28. Starting at verse 7. Now, Saul is wanting to go to battle, but he's still got enough God about him that he wants to know what God wants. Will I win? Will I not win? Will God be with me? What's going to happen? But in his condition of having rejected the word of the Lord, there's no communication between him and God. Now, we're in a tough time on earth. It's not easy to be spiritual in this age. It is not easy to maintain contact with God. It's easy to be church members, and it's easy to be, quote, Christian. It's easy to be, quote, a follower of the message. But to have a continued fellowship with God, it's not easy. In the age we're in, with grace receding and judgment setting in, it's harder and harder, more difficult to stay in contact with God. I think all that have served the Lord, let's see, where are we now? 92, well, let's say over 25 years, can really measure the big difference from when there was grace under a Pentecostal era and coming on up, actually on up into the first part of the opening of the seals in the 60s, and then now, oh my, what a change. What a change. So here's Saul now in his backslidden condition, having been rejected as king by God. Another man is now anointed king, and that's David. Now catch the picture now. Saul has been rejected of God. The anointing is no longer with him. Why? Disobedience from the word. But he's still in his position. He still carries the title king. But in God's eyes, David is king. From the moment Samuel anointed David, in God's eyes, David was king. But David was such a man of integrity that he would not come against the previous king to put him down in any way. He says, God's going to have to tear that man down. I'll not do it. So he's kind of waiting for God to accomplish getting himself on the throne, which is exactly the way each person, I wish tonight now this was an all ministers meeting, this is the way that each person, each minister should be, that you wait for God to put you in your place. But I know he's called me to this. Fine, he'd already called David too, but it took a while before he got into that position. And you hear sometimes people moaning and groaning, well, the people won't receive me. They won't this, they won't that. Either you're not the man or it's not God's time, or they will. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the faith of God's people. Who put it in their hearts? God. God put it in their heart that they could look at that man and say, he's God's apostle. Who puts it in a person's heart to receive a certain person as their pastor? God puts it there. There's churches all over the place, message churches all over the place. How come we've chosen to fellowship here? God's put something in our heart. Isn't that right? There's just something there that God is doing the leading. So then therefore we don't, we're resting in God's leadership in our life. Now, 28:7, because he's now trying to find the will of God. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit. And I remember Brother Branham says, yep, look, a woman. That I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he has cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid. What sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. Paganism. Can't see it with any other eye. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. Now, these scriptures right here paint the most beautiful picture of death doesn't change you. Saul left here a prophet. Saul arrived there a prophet. Samuel. Samuel was here a prophet. He went in death a prophet. He's reached by a familiar spirit, called back. He comes back. He's still a prophet. Death doesn't change you. When God places us in a position in the body of Christ, that's a position. Somehow, these things carry right over into eternity. I don't know entirely how, but they do. And somehow, there is a relationship between our obedience here, and not salvation I'm talking about, I mentioned that already, but our position over there. You've done good here, I'll make you ruler over much over there. You've done little here, you'll rule over nothing over there. So somehow there is the reward system that God has got going on the other side that just kind of goes on. Now, I'm sure that everybody's going to be just happy to be there. At least I made it. But I would like to feel that I could do something to serve the Lord through all eternity and not just I made it. Of course, I want to make it, but I'd like to, in my schooling here in this life, in the school that I go through in this life, I'd like to be at a place where we can say, I can entrust him for the millennium. I can entrust him for eternity in this position or that position because he's stayed with the word of the Lord in this life. Obedient in the little things. I'll make you ruler over much. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. Now, as I've had my years in the message and moved around from church to church and place to place, and I've had ministers still pastoring churches say, Brother Lonnie, I am so backslid. Still pastoring a church. Still got people looking to them. And it isn't like they're real sinful, but they know they just virtually gone natural. They've lost all spirituality and gone natural. Still in the position, sure, so was Saul. Still doing what God would have them to do, scarcely. What happened? They miss some points along the way somewhere, and they begin to drift from the Word. Or as Brother Branham said, he says, if you're with the Word and the Word moves on, but you don't move, you left the Word, even though it was the Word that moved. You can follow that, because our command is stay with it. As it opens up, move with it. As a pillar of fire moves, move with it. And our life should be becoming more and more Christ-like as we go on with moving with the unveiled Word. This Word is taking us to a body change. And everything requires faith. By the way, along this taking us thing, the subject I'm studying on now to get into next is the white eagle. How many have ever noticed Brother Branham use the term white eagle? And he only uses it just a few times, and I've puzzled over that all the days in my message, but it's finally opening up to me. I'm beginning to see about the white eagle. So then it ties in with this. That's why it came into my mind. And God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? Now notice the wording here versus compared to what we see coming in a moment. It's important to catch this picture of how God speaks. Here's a prophet speaking for God. You have become an enemy. Let's see. How is he worded? Seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy. So God has become your enemy. And the Lord has done to him, and as he spake by me, for the Lord has rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyed not the voice of God, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore saith the Lord, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. So, and then Saul falls down with fear. So here's the prophet Samuel in the realm of the saved, not lost, the realm of the saved, and he's prophesying to a man that says, God is your enemy, and saying, you're going to die, you'll be with me tomorrow, in the realm of the saved. So we see what a picture things is with God. It's different. Election is election is election on the real, that solid elect, let's call the Bride of Christ election. That doesn't change. Relationship doesn't change. Fellowship changes. You remember Brother Branham's story about the old preacher? He said he took his car into a garage one day, and one of the mechanics there says, oh, you remember old Brother so-and-so? Yep. And he says, yeah. He said that he's given up the ministry. Is that right? Brother Branham says, I went over to talk to him. And he says, now just leave me alone, Brother Branham. I don't want to talk about the things of God. And he says, and the man, I think it was a colored man, if I remember right. And he says, oh, Brother Branham says, oh, surely, brother. He says, you love the Lord. He says, if I loved him, I'd serve him, wouldn't I? And he said that he then tried to send some young fellow over somewhere across the border where they were selling beer, get me a case of beer and bring it back. And the young fellow says, I'll not do it. He says, I'll not do it. He says, me go get a case of beer for a man of God, I'll know it. He says, I'm no man of God, don't call me that. So he drove over himself, got the beer, came back, drank it, got drunk. It says, in a few days, the man died. Brother Branham said, what happened? He said, somehow the trials of life got to him. He said he failed in his obedience, and God took his child home. If we'd look at that with our natural eyes, why, that fella got a case of beer, boy, God sure smote him. No, God took his child home. He was failing the test. And somehow, I don't know how it works yet, but somehow through all eternity,
There's going to be a kind of a
eternal life.
Yep.
Have that. Child of God.
Yep.
That didn't change. But he failed something here. So he failed God here. I don't want to do that. I can sense some of you are right with me. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You'd like to be right on your tiptoes for God and not just church members. Like, God, what would you have me do? You know, if it was something like take this sword and utterly slay, that's easier than this invisible warfare that we fight. I've read far enough on that. Revelations 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So here again, obedience and access to the tree of life. Now, I want you to catch a picture of what I'm about to say now. Just as when a woman comes to the Lord and suddenly 1 Corinthians 11 comes alive to her, God doesn't want her to cut her hair. He wants her to have uncut hair. And right then, oh, God, forgive me. From that moment on, in God's eyes, she's got long hair. With me? Why? Because her heart now is set on the Word. So the physical manifestation of the past, God doesn't see that. He only sees her heart. She's lined up to the Word. And in the same way, here where it says, blessed are they that keep his commandments, they'll have right to the tree of life. When you finally die to your own will, God, I don't want my way, I want your way, Lord. Just whatever you want, that's what I want. God then says, you're obedient. Because you're not fighting, you're not tugging, you're not struggling the other way. He says, you're obedient. So he counts you as an obedient son. And we could go back through the scriptures again, but this obedience on in this aspect now, where there's a double aspect, but I'm trying to hang on one side. In this way, then, God also says, my son is righteous. Now, we have an imputed righteousness, but God also wants us to live righteously. Because of the blood, we're counted as perfect. But you'll let your one-year-old do things without even getting a spanking that a three-year-old will get paddled for. And out of a 10-year-old, you'd think, what's wrong with you? And now here we are as members of the Bride of Christ, many of which have been serving the Lord for quite a few years now. So therefore, what God expects out of us is considerably more than the little babies that were still around when the prophet was on the scene. So he's expecting something more out of us. So we can't rest in where we were. You don't really rest in all of this life. You rest in your salvation, you rest in his work, but you press the mark. And if you think of yourself and you say, well, I read the books and listen to a tape and come to church, I don't know that I'm, you know, following what's the will of God for me. This is the area where you kind of have to find a little peace in your individual relationship. Because for some, your role is to shine your light in your position in the body. As Brother Branham says, a child of God placed in the body as a school teacher, as a mechanic, as a truck driver. So then what's fulfilling their role in life? They're shining the radiance of Christ in the area of life, the area that they've been assigned to live in, to function in, to work in. It doesn't mean that every member will be active in something just directly in the church. That doesn't mean that. Many will just come and feed here, and they count themselves as part of the local body, but they're here to just be upbuilded, fellowship with the other brothers. But their real function is to shine the light where they are functioning out in the world. Remember what he said, placed in the body as a school teacher, as a mechanic, as a farmer. But if you're unsure, this is where you need to be saying, God, get me settled now. Give me assurance, because you shouldn't be torn and tossed all the time. But then continually checking your life. Has God shown me something that I haven't yet done? The major things that we start in with, have I been baptized correctly? Have I repented? Am I walking in the right direction? What he shows me, do I do it? He's shown me about tithes. Do I pay my tithes? He's shown me about applying the token in my home. Have I applied the token in my home? He's under no obligation to show you more unless you're already doing what he's already shown you. And with this showing of more comes greater blessing and more of God. Because Christ is the Word, and the more we enter into the Word and he unveils the Word as we step into it, not only believing it, but obeying it, because if you really believe it, you will, then there's that more of that Christ-like life coming into you. Here's an older one now, back in 1960, adoption. And when the Christian is packed with the gospel, filled with the goodness of God, all the good things of God laying in him, with an open heart, ready to work, willing to be positionally placed, do anything that the Holy Spirit tells him to do, passed from death unto life, sanctified from the things of the world, walking in the light as the light comes to him, moving on, he's ready. This is adoption. Then God shuts the door of the world behind him, kicks it together like that, seals him with the Holy Ghost of promise, hallelujah, for how long? Until the destination. Well, when you die, then, Brother Branham, what about after you die? You said you still have it. You have it forever, sealed forever. And when does life begin? He says, right here, you see a little bit of a shadow. And then the shadow, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Then, as you leave, it becomes the shadow of the shadows of the shadow. Then, as I said the other day, when you die, you keep on going through these shadows until you come to moisture. From moisture to a little trickling spring. From the spring to a creek, from the creek to a river, and from the river to an ocean of the love of God. You're just the same person, but moving on. I want to swim in the ocean. I just want the love of God overflowing out of me. I want to be, you know, in Scripture, we used to read it to you often back at the other church years ago when we talked about missions, and it's in I think it's there in Joshua where it says those that settled on the other side of Jordan, Ephraim and Manasseh, and it says, now you've been given your portion, you've been given your land, but you can't settle down here with your wives and children yet. You must come with these other tribes and help your brethren possess their land. And once they possess theirs, then you can go back and enjoy yours. And so in the same way, we have come into quite a possession. I hope, hopefully, not on the other side of Jordan, but within Jordan, we've come into quite a possession of the Word of God. But we're not to just sit back and just, I've got it, it's mine, but rather help our brethren, wherever they are around the world, also get into their place, in their position, in the promised land, in the Word, and then we can enjoy our portion. It doesn't happen in this life. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Amen. Looky here at old Saul, that old backslider. He could not get through to God, yet he wasn't lost. He certainly wasn't. He was a prophet. But he just got outside of God. That's the reason, brethren, I said, you're not lost. So then remember, he just got out of the will of God. So the Urim and Thummim wouldn't even answer old Saul. He couldn't even have a dream. He was so far gone till he couldn't have a dream. So you know what he did? He went down to that old witch, that old devil doctor down there, witch doctor, and says, "Can you divine?" Then he goes on into the story. And it says, when Samuel comes up before Saul, he says, "What? Why did you call, seeing you've become an enemy of God?" He says, not only was he still Samuel, he still maintained the spirit of prophecy and said, "The battle's going against you tomorrow, and you and your sons will fall in the battle tomorrow. By this time tomorrow night, you'll be with me." Is that right? He was still a prophet. I like that. To me, as I see these things happening, this distant thing called heaven and eternity is moving closer because we're blending with it. We're beginning to see that as God functions through us here, we just move right into another dimension and he's still functioning through us. We haven't fully put on the mind of Christ that's in the soul, you know. We haven't fully put it on yet to where that, as he says, when they're yet speaking, I'll answer because it'll be me in them thinking. We're not quite fully there yet. But I think we're getting real close. Could I ask you to bow your heads with me, please? Lord Jesus, I have preached a very general subject. God, that we do want to be obedient. We do want fellowship. We don't want to be like the daddy and boy walking through the park. We want our fellowship to continue just as strong and nice as our relationship is. But Lord, I don't know where each of the people are living. I know where I'm living. But Lord, you by the Holy Spirit, you know. And Lord, I'd like for you to just quietly speak to each of your children. Here's where you're lacking. Here's where you're lagging behind. Here's where you're not pressing the mark. Here's where you have not applied the token. Here's some of the word that you know that you're not living. Lord, I'm going to go quiet. And I would like for you to speak to your children and for them to speak right back to you. And to congregation, I'd like for you to feel free to pray in whatever way you want to pray. Just talk to the Lord a minute and let's just see if you'll take what I've said and personalize it to you. May the Lord grant that. Well, I'm hoping some little something dropped into your heart. I know for me, as I studied this, it did for me. And I see areas where I want to shape up more, try harder. It just, for me, it's such a growing thing. I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And I know the only life that's pleasing to him is his own life. He's not pleased with one thing I've got to offer him, except myself, and then let him live through it. Amen. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord. Sing it again. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord because can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone. All fear is gone, because I know. Because I know, yes, I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living. Just because he lives. One more time. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know he holds my future. This life is worth the living, just because he lives.
As I was pulling up quotes today on the computer, I was absolutely amazed. I started pulling up obedience. And I was amazed at how many times Brother Branham, when praying for people and laying hands on them, he would say, "And Lord, in obedience to your word, I lay my hands on this person." Many other places he said, "In obedience to your word, Jesus, that you commissioned the church, I cast this devil out of this person." And suddenly, to me, it took on a new light. It wasn't, can I believe for laying on the hands on the sick? Can I believe for casting out devils? Wasn't the issue at all. I'm being obedient. I'm a believer. God told me to do it. I'll do it. Obedience. Are you staying with me? So suddenly, when what God has said, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick will recover. I'll lay hands on the sick will recover. I'm being obedient. He'll do his part, I'll do my part. Are any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil. A prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. We do our part, he does his part. Obedience. He referred to the gospel story where can't remember who it was, came to Jesus now and said, "Come pray for my daughter." He says, "I don't even need to go." He says, "Go, your daughter will be healed." And it says the man turned and walked back home. And finally, a day later, said, "When was she healed?" And it was the very time when Jesus spoke the words. But he says, notice when Jesus says, "I don't need to come, your daughter will be healed." He said, he just turned around and went home. He said, what was it? Obedience. He didn't sit and beg. He says, "Go on home, your daughter will be healed." Obedience. It wasn't, "Oh, I believe the Lord." That's true. But his faith in what Jesus said resulted in, okay, I'll go home. Obedience. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Obedience to the entire word of God entitles you to the token. That's an important quote. Obedience to the entire word of God entitles you to the token. Now remember, token life is the full measure of the Holy Ghost. It isn't when you're first birthed and you got a little measure of the Holy Ghost and you're growing. You grow into token life. And he says, full obedience entitles you to the token. What is it? As he shows you light, you walk in it. He shows you more light, you walk in it, until finally you've walked or matured into the literal life of Christ. I think that's what we all want. Because that's what's going in the rapture. Amen. Number 306. I'd like to sing just a few songs with you in the book here before we go. It shows an E flat, sister, so whatever you can hit close to that. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Again, oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. A little louder. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. All hail King Jesus.
Let's all stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like Brother Doyle and Brother Dave Wood and Brother Jim Crook, if you would, and Brother Fogwell, if you brothers would come forward, and I'd like Brother Kim to come forward. Brother Kim, we'd like to pray for you. The doctors don't know what to do for him. And come on forward, Brother Kim. And we heard about his leaky valve and mentioned to him about, well, are they suggesting replacing? And he said, no, the doctor just told me, take it easy. You've got a time bomb in your chest. And so they're not quite sure what to do either. So brothers, come on up. Let's go right up here. Going to anoint you with oil. Brother Kim, this is just like the word of the Lord. God says, anoint him with oil. Prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. So this is representing, of course, the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the word. We're going to put it right here. Yes. And now that's the word of the Lord. It cannot fail. And we're going to pray for you. And I believe it cannot fail. Okay, brothers?
Yes.
Thanks, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Brother Crook, would you lead off?
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word that you've
yes.
given us tonight.
Yes.
We pray now, Lord, that it's not by our power and
yes.
it's not by our might, but
yes.
it's by the Spirit of our God.
Hallelujah.
We pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to touch Brother Kim's heart right now.
Yes.
Touch it in a miraculous way, Lord.
Yes.
That by the prayers of the saints, by your Holy Ghost, could his heart be healed,
yes.
could the
yes.
leak be plugged.
Yes.
It will be done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We claim it now.
Thank you, Lord.
We claim the healing in
yes.
the name of Jesus.
Lord God, in obedience to the word of God, we have applied the oil. We have laid on hands. Satan, you cannot stand. The church of the living God has called for you. We rebuke this infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. The word has been spoken. The word has been applied. And the Holy Ghost quickened it in the name of Jesus Christ. We claim it. Amen. 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 Praise be to God.
Thank you,
yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Praise be to God. Granted, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. While we're here, anybody else want prayer? Anybody else? Sickness in your body? Yes, Sister Viola. Okay, arthritis pains in the back. All right, let's pray, brothers. Put your hands on her. Brother Dave Wood.
Heavenly Father, we just count it a privilege, Lord, to be here to fulfill your word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you said lay hands on the sick and they shall.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we're just obeying your word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and now we have done our part, Lord, we believe.
Yes, Lord.
Faith, Lord, you will be
yes, we sure do, Lord.
Touch our sister, Lord, take his heart from us, Lord. Take it away, Lord, let her have peace, let her have freedom from pain, Lord.
Yes.
Let her just be treated to do the daily tasks
yes.
of life without this pain, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We give you the glory and praise, Lord, it's a finished work. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, Lord.
Yes, yes.
We thank you, Lord, you said you sent
yes,
him,
yes.
heal him, Lord. We're fulfilling your word now, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, we thank you. We give you the glory and honor.
Praise be to God.
Praise your holy
Hallelujah.
Name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for doing the work.
Finished work. Finished work. Sister Bessie. Praise the Lord. Oh, okay. All right. High blood pressure. Amen. I'm going to pray if you don't mind, brothers. Lord Jesus, we place hands on her. We claim the word of God. Lord, we are believers, and you are not a man that you should lie. We rebuke this infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, may that peace that passes all understanding, my very same words to pass right through, and the healing virtue, Lord, just quickened in her innermost being. And God, may we get a testimony back. My blood pressure is down, down, down in Jesus' name. For your glory, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, brothers. Appreciate it. Glory to God. Number 303, B flat, sisters, or somewhere close there. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away.
got something that the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. I've got something worth talking about, makes me sing and it makes me shout. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. One more time. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. Oh, I've got something that the world can't give, and keeps me day by day. I've got something worth shouting about. It makes me sing and it makes me shout. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away.
Is that your testimony? Amen. The world didn't give it to you. The world can't take it away. Amen. It's all yours. Brother Ray Wiley, would you mind closing in prayer for us?